then every Australian, from newborn babe to Prime Minister, can share in the cheapest, simplest and fairest health insurance scheme Australia's ever had.
Medicare.
That's Bob Hawke in 1983 encouraging every Australian to fill out their Medicare enrolment form. It's a stark contrast to the previous Fraser government, who tried to destabilise Medibank as it then was.
In Malcolm Fraser's time in government, so 1975 through to 1981, he instituted a lot of the same types of changes as Minister Lee is currently introducing into Medicare. It was then Medibank. So we with Malcolm Fraser, we had Medibank Mark 1, Mark 2, Mark 3 and Mark 4 before he finally dismantled the scheme in April 1981.
Why the history lesson? Well, Malcolm Fraser learnt the hard way that healthcare doesn't operate in a supply-demand way like the rest of the economy.
And in his later years, when he was interviewed for a book called Making Medicare, he said that he was unable to reconcile macroeconomic reform with health because health doesn't operate like other markets. So you can't apply simple principles of supply and demand to health for the simple reason that demand for health is infinite.
This is Margaret Foe. She's a lawyer, a registered nurse, and CEO of the largest medical billing company in Australia. She's also currently doing a PhD on Medicare claiming and compliance at the University of Technology, Sydney. So Malcolm Fraser's lessons might be something current Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull should listen to. But what is indexation? If you visit the GP and you get bulk billed, you don't pay a cent. Instead, the government pays your GP $37.05 for the consultation. This was rising with CPI, or the Consumer Price Index, up until 2013, when the then Labor government announced it would freeze the Medicare indexation. This freeze has now been extended by the Coalition until 2020. Up until now, GPs have taken the hit. It means while the costs associated with running a practice, like new technologies, wages and other admin costs, have risen, but the amount GPs receive has remained static. GPs are saying they can no longer afford to just accept the $37.05.
And if the income that I'm earning as a practitioner is fixed and frozen, I'm going to have to start looking at either decreasing my services, which is really not good for the health of the nation, or starting asking my patients for a contributory fee.
And that contributing fee is what's being called the copayment by stealth. Before we get into the so-called copayment, you might argue that GPs earn enough already and that they can afford to continue on business as usual so long as they take a pay cut. Not so, says Dr. Frank Jones.
So most GPs are actually not in this for the money. Yes, of course, we earn a relatively good income compared to the rest of the population. We also put in long, long hours, and we also deal with lots of consequences of decisions that we make. So it really is a relatively high-risk profession as well.
Dr. Jones is president of the Royal Australian College of General Practitioners, or RACGP, and he's also a GP from regional Western Australia. So how much money are we talking here? How much will we have to cough up when we see a GP?
I think you'll find that Category 2 patient, the paper non-healthcare cards, will be copping probably a cost of something along the lines of $15 to $20.
$15 to $20?
Yeah, I think that reflects the true situation if you want to provide a quality care service. But those are the figures that have been talked about in GP circles.
Keep in mind that that is someone with a healthcare card, like a pensioner. It's even worse for the rest of us. The out-of-pocket costs, according to RACGP, could be around $33. That cost is passed on at the GP's discretion, and it will change depending on the area you live and the type of practice. Dr. Jones says GPs may still choose to bulk bill disadvantaged patients, but this will also be at the GP's discretion.
You know, people who are really disadvantaged in my community here, for example, the homeless youth, for example, people in aged care, people in palliative care, people in Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander who have multiple health problems but probably are not as financially well off as other people. I think general practitioners will continue to cop it on the chin.
As mentioned earlier, this is a co-payment by stealth. But it's not exactly a co-payment. Margaret Foe again.
And I actually think there's a lot of confusion on this concept of a co-payment. It's illegal to charge a gap.
When you get bulk billed by your doctor, it's actually illegal for them to charge a little bit extra. So, if doctors do decide to charge their patients more, they will have to charge you the whole amount, and you claim your $37.05 from Medicare later.
When doctors say we're going to charge you a $10 co-payment, what that actually means is that you're going to have to pay $47.05 up front. You have to have $47.05 cash available on the spot, because that's the law. So what you'll have to do is pay $47.05, then you will get $37.05 back. So the impact on patients is not $10, you know, $20. You've got to have the cash up front to pay the full amount, because that's the law and that's the way Medicare works.
So if I'm a student, for example, and, you know, I'm living paycheck to paycheck, I get sick but don't have enough money for another week, I'm not going to go to the doctor, am I?
I wouldn't have thought so, Ellen. You will actively seek out a bulk billing doctor, because you will want to be able to walk into the clinic, be treated and walk out, swipe your Medicare card and not have had to, you know, hand over any money. And, you know, as students, vulnerable people, low socioeconomic groups, all of those people will be really, really heavily hit by these cuts, in my view.
This may make you yearn for the days of the $7 GP co-payment, but Margaret Foe says any co-payment is a slippery slope.
If you introduce co-payments, you've basically destroyed the universal healthcare and bulk billing, because what it means is bulk billing, it just becomes, there's no point in having it. It's just, here's the government rebate, and then we'll just continue to charge whatever we want. And what we know with co-payments in other countries is once they've been introduced, the only direction they go is up.
Margaret and Dr. Jones agree. Any cuts to primary health care, like GPs, is bad news for the health system.
We actually know, and this is very well recognised both within Australia and overseas, that countries with a strong general practice primary health care system have actually overall better health outcomes. So it's a little bit illogical to be targeting general practice particularly.
Margaret, in particular, cites the price of showing up to hospital versus the price of seeing your GP. $398 for the hospital, or $37.05 for the GP.
A vibrant, thriving primary health sector is critically important to the overall functioning of our healthcare system, because it's the front door. And if you put barriers up at the front door or make it unattractive for people to access health, they will go to hospitals, and hospitals are much more expensive. So you compare this, it's $37.05 to go to the GP. By comparison, if you go to a public hospital emergency department, the last time I looked at the figures on the Independent Hospital Pricing Authority website, which was last year, the average cost of a non-admitted adult presentation to a public emergency department was $398. So there is no, it's just a no-brainer. You want people going to GPs, you don't want people going to hospitals.
Both the Minister for Health and the Shadow Minister for Health were contacted for this story. Both were unavailable for comment. However, the Minister for Health, Susan Lee, pointed us in the direction of a statement released on Friday, saying bulk billing rates have increased under the Turnbull government. We will provide a link to the statement on our website. But back to the other Malcolm Fraser. We know he admitted health doesn't work like a typical economic model says it should. But were his changes effective?
Malcolm Fraser, eventually, everything he did made costs go up. And they were designed to do the opposite. And in the end, he dismantled the scheme. So I think that is a cautionary tale for the current government, who's copying many of his initiatives, and I believe the same will happen. I don't think it will reduce costs, and it will have a negative impact on health outcomes.